This is Jim Inkster, and our guest is A.W. Barnes, better known as Andy. And Dr. Barnes has a Ph.D. in English Literature and MFA in Creative Writing. He is a man of letters, but his latest book is about an important topic. It's called The Dark Eclipse, Reflections on Suicide and Absence. The Dark Eclipse is a book of personal essays in which Andy Barnes seeks to come to terms with the suicide of his older brother, Mike. And it is a topic that is not easy to talk about or write about, but you have done just that. How challenging was it to do this work, Andy Barnes?
Good morning, and thank you for having me on today. I really do appreciate it. This was a challenging book. My brother, Mike, committed suicide back in 1993, so it's been 25 years, and it's taken me about 20 of those years to sit down and finally write about him. I'd actually written many versions of this book before I got to this one, and none of them quite worked. So it's, as a writer, it's something I had to really dig deep down inside me and to allow myself to kind of live in those dark valleys in order to explore this topic, which you're right is a very important topic we need to talk about.
Often the conflicts in our life stem from our childhood, and you had what was might be considered a conservative family from the Midwest, 8 siblings, and your father was a person who had studied to be a monk. And yet, despite the veneer, there, of course, was a story beyond that.
That's correct. My father was studying to be a monk, a Trappist monk, in Kentucky at the Abbey of Gethsemane, where Thomas Merton, some of your listeners may know him, was for much of his life. My father left the monastery, but he never left the idea of monasticism. So in our family, there are 8 children born within 12 years, and it was a conservative family, and my father saw the world in black and white, in good versus evil, in those very stark terms. And for him, the good life was a son who would marry, have lots of children, stick around his hometown, and I was not that kind of son. And so I ended up on the wrong side of my father's moral equation, if you will.
Where were you and Mike in the birth order?
I was a middle child, so I was the fourth son, the fifth child, the fourth son, and Mike was the third son. And I tell you that Mike was the golden child of our family. He was a straight-A student. He was the prom king in high school. He got a degree from the University of Notre Dame, went to Duke Law School, and he became a lawyer on Wall Street. Well, I was the moody middle child, the typical moody middle child, and I was a B student. And wasn't intelligent in the way my family understood, and a lot of people understood intelligence. I have a kind of creative intelligence that wasn't much appreciated. So I think that it was one of the reasons that Mike had difficulty when he was given everything on a silver platter for the most part. When he ran into difficulties in his life, he just collapsed, where I had to struggle through my childhood and really kind of built a tough skin, and that's, I think, why I survived.
How close were you in age?
3.5 years. He was 3.5 years older than I was.
So you looked up to him.
He was my hero, and not only did I look up to Mike, but I looked like him, too. I sounded like him. I had the same mannerisms as him, and when I was growing up, I was called Mike more than I was called my own name. Even by my family, even by my beloved mother, I was called Mike. So I very much lived in his shadow. But yeah, he was my hero.
The book is The Dark Eclipse, Reflections on Suicide and Absence. And Andy lost his brother Mike, who, despite his golden child persona, obviously was a tormented man. What was going on in Mike's life?
That's a good question. I think that Mike, because he was the third son, and for a while there were just 3 of them, 3 boys and my mother and father, and I think that was kind of the perfect family to him. And he was gay, and I was gay, and I think that he struggled mightily with being gay and could never reconcile that. In the end, his suicide note, which I begin, is the first document in this book. I republished it in the book. He talks about that he wishes more than anything he could live back in Indianapolis with my other siblings, be married and have children. So he could just never reconcile who he was with what he was told he should be.
Was it gut-wrenching to go through the police report, the autopsy, the suicide note, the death certificate? You did all of this.
Yes, I did.
How hard was it?
I did. It was very difficult. So I had to, a therapist of mine suggested that I do this because I knew some things about Mike's death and I made assumptions about others. So I had to go to the morgue in Manhattan where I went to identify my brother's body back in 1993. I had to go revisit that space and revisit that experience. I had to go to the police precinct where we went to get Mike's belongings, including the suicide note, and had to relive that experience. So in a way, I had to go through that experience all over again in order to confront in order to actually gather the facts of his death so that I could understand or try to understand why he committed suicide.
How hard was this on your family, your father in particular?
My father, who is still living, he's 89 years old. He's been living with COPD for the last 10 years and is coming to the end of his life. I'm assuming that it was difficult for my father, but I don't know because I come from a family where we don't express emotions. We don't, certainly not in public. We don't talk to each other about these things. My family has really never talked to me about Mike or his suicide. My father certainly has not. I detail in this book when I went to identify my brother in the morgue, I went with my mother and my father, the three of us. And my father, who knew I was gay at that point and knew that Mike was gay at that point, in the waiting room, he came up to me and pointed a finger at me and said, anyone who lives this kind of lifestyle deserves to die this way. So he placed a curse on my head and my brothers. And my brothers and my other brothers and sisters tell me that that was just my father's grief talking. And it may well have been my father's grief talking, but it certainly landed on me, his grief.
Did he ever explain himself or apologize after that?
No, sir. We've never talked about it. We've never talked about it in all those years. And I talked to my father. I talk to him more frequently now because he is coming to the end of his life, and I'm trying to reconcile with him. In fact, I'm writing my next book. It's called My Father's Body, and I'm trying to reconcile. It's a book about reconciliation. But we have a hard time talking to each other normally. So to talk about Mike and to talk about that moment is almost impossible.
Are any of your other siblings gay, Andy?
No, they are not. Nor I also have 19 nieces and nephews, and none of them are either, except I have to say my nieces and nephews are great. I think it's that generation. They are more accepting. They're more understanding. And I have been married to the same man for 26 years, and they just know him as part of the family. So he is just another uncle to them. So,
did you feel like you had to write this book?
I did feel like I had to write this book for a couple of reasons. Mike lives in me. He lives in my memory, in my brain. And in the past, over the years, when I got to a dark place, and I think this is true for many people who have family members who commit suicide, when I got to a dark place, I could hear Mike's voice saying, just end it all. It's easy. Just end it all. And that was that was hard to deal with. So part of what I did in this book is to corral him in my memory in the past and leave him there and not allow him to have any say and how I live my life today.
Have you ever thought of taking your life?
Indeed, when I was in my teens, in my 20s, I had several suicide attempts, and I checked myself into a hospital to get help. And that also, because I did that, because I sought help. I was able to overcome. I was able to escape that past. I also left my hometown because for me personally, it was a very toxic environment, and I had to remove myself from that environment in order not just to survive, but to thrive. And today I am thriving.
Well, like you, I grew up in a religious environment, Roman Catholic, and I would have imagined that if I were gay, that it would have been very difficult to have been in that environment. You experienced this firsthand. How challenging was that for you?
It was extremely challenging in this sense that I knew that as a son, as a brother, that my family loved me, although we don't express emotions, as I said, so we don't express emotions. We don't tell each other that we love each other. But I also knew that in the society I grew up, in the family I grew up, in the religion I grew up, being homosexual was a sin, was evil. So I could never reconcile how someone could love me and hate me at the same time. And that confusion, and I still struggle with that, that struggle and that confusion really put distance between my family and myself.
Well, it's an important book. And at this time of the year, as we know, there are more incidents of suicide than any other time.
That's right. And I think that the other thing I wanted this book to do is to really give voice to suicide, because we don't talk about suicide. In my family, we never talk about suicide. But in this country, we don't talk about suicide, and it is one of the leading causes of death in this country. It's the second cause of death for people between 10 and 34, and the third leading cause of death for people over 34. And we need to talk about it. And I think for your listeners, if there's anyone out there who's feeling suicidal, reach out and call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. And if you know of anybody who's in trouble, reach out to them. The best thing you can do is just talk to them, to call them to see how they're doing.
The book is The Dark Eclipse, Reflections on Suicide and Absence from A.W. Andy Barnes. Thank you, Andy.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.